At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is. Your boy, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast. We are in the building. Special guest to my left. This guy is going to help you make a lot of money, right?
100%. Hopefully. That's what we're here to do, man.
That's what we're here to do. We're going to give you some game. You know, I've been talking to some credit guys, some funny guys. So we're going to see what this guy got different. Stepman Waiters is in the building. What up, brother?
What's going on, brother?
My God, give me some love, man.
Yes,
what
sir. Up? So, glad for you to have me, man.
No problem, man. You ex-football guy.
Yeah.
Yo, how was that, bro? Like, I feel like you went whole 180 from playing ball. Like, you even, tried the NFL thing for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And now you went to, like, engineering. So even that's like a 180 to now entrepreneurship. So it's like, I don't know, he was everywhere. How was that transition?
Bro, I'm going to start from the beginning, bro. You got to start from the roots, man. So football was just ingrained in me at a young age, bro. Grew up in Miami, Florida, where, shit, we playing football in the streets, bro. Mm-hmm. No socks.
Yeah.
We tackling people into the gates. Like, we reckless with it. So it's football, just all I knew at the time. Growing up, that's all I wanted to do. Was pretty decent in high school. Played high school ball in Georgia. And ended up going to Georgia Southern playing D1 football. But that's all I cared about. That's all I put my focus into from day one was football, right? Got to college, and one thing that stuck out with me, when I was on a recruiting visit, one of the seniors there, he was like, bro, when you come here, choose a major that can make you some money if football doesn't work out. Mm. He told me straight up that he felt like he made a mistake because he wasn't going to the league, and the major that he studied wasn't making him any money, so he was just forced to go to the military. And he was like, bro, honestly, I could have did that out of high school and been at a higher rank than I am now. So that really stuck with me, and then that's why I chose electrical engineering, man. Was the hardest thing of my life, bro. Like, 5 a.m. workouts, going to class, going to tutoring, games, film. It's crazy, but it built the man that I am today, bro, and I really appreciate that. So went, transitioned from college football, played a little bit of professional, didn't really do too much with that, right? But ultimately, I got a job as an engineer, you know.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the guy you met, right, that told you choose a major that's going to make you some money.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so important? I feel like we sometimes, it's either stick with you or don't, because, like, we overlook those things. Bro, I never forget. I wish somebody would have told me that. But that's some of the things that I tell everybody I talk to when it comes to going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And they think I'd be laughing. I'm like, bro, don't have no major like sociology. And like, because my major was sociology. I'm being real. And they always joke, like, you can make money as so. Man, listen what I'm telling you. Like, you might can, but you got to get your master's. You got to do all this other stuff. Whereas, though, a major like engineering, it's a couple of them. It's not a lot. But, like, majors like that where you could come out of college making money.
100%.
Man, that's so, how important was that now that you look back on it?
Bro, it really saved my life and put me on track, man, just because I was already structured to have success. And my mindset when it came to football was like, I'm going to focus on this, but whether I make it in football or not, I'm going to be making some type of bread coming out. Mm-hmm. I wasn't worried about nothing. So graduated, like I said, still was chasing football. But you get to the point where you understand, bro, like, the sport don't always love you as much as you love it.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit that real world, and you leave college, because college is a bubble. So you the man on campus, everybody know you, you're on scholarship, you're getting free meal plans, you can go to the weight room, do all this stuff. But once you leave and get into real world, everything costs money.
Facts.
Them same steaks, chickens, broccoli, meal preps that we eating that was free because the school covered it, you now got to come out of pocket.
Yeah.
And that's like, what, $3,000-$4,000 a month to have a real legitimate, you know, meal plan. And then paying for training on top of that, that's another $2,000 a month, you know what I'm saying? So you get into a situation where if you don't have an agent, if you don't have the backing, if you don't have the funds, the resources, like, life starts to hit you.
No,
because if you're coming out of college not making no money chasing the dream, and it's $5,000 a month to train, and you still got to live, you still got rent, you may have a car note, whatever it be, it can stack up. So football, like I said, it kind of filters a lot of people out. But I thank God that, you know, that conversation, even my parents showing me, telling me, you know, when you go to college, maximize this opportunity. And then that's why I stuck with engineering. So going to engineering, bro, it's a touchy feeling, man, because at that point, most people say you have arrived.
Mm.
What do they teach us growing up? go to school, get good grades, go to college, get a degree,
get a job, retire, boom.
They only tell you what's next.
It's like, if that's your life, I don't want that. Is that the American dream? Shit, I need to move to what, the Bahamas? Like, I got to
go somewhere else. Right, exactly. Right? But that's what they teach us. And you can't really fault the people before us that taught us that, because at one point they didn't have that privilege. Right. And they thought that was what was right. And for some people, it is the right thing to do. But for me, man, like I said, I just want it better. But I was smart enough to say, I don't know what I want to do yet, but this engineering is a bag, and it can, you know what I'm saying, alleviate for now until I figure out exactly what I want to do.
Right.
So, bro, I was working during COVID. I'm working out. I'm sneaking out the job, lifting weights, going back to work. Like, I'm really putting that work in, but still trying to figure out what it is that I want to do with my life. And that's when I found out about credit, about business, during that time, right? Got into it a little bit. Had some success doing credit repair, because most people have, you know, challenged credit and need help with that. Helped them with that, but wanted something bigger. Found a mentor and made the craziest decision ever. My first mentor that I paid.
How much did you pay?
$25,000. I ain't even had that in my account. Sheesh. At that time, I think I had like $4,000 in my account. I got a screenshot of it. And I'm like, bro, am I really about to pay somebody $25,000, hoping and praying that this information, this accountability, this new community, this new environment can help me to make, you know, $500K, $300K, whatever the case may be. And it paid off.
Best investment you ever
100%.
Made.
100%. But I did it strategically, bro. Mm-hmm. A lot of people... Oh, go ahead.
Let me let you go into that. You know what's crazy? Because even still, you came in on a lower end. Like, I know niggas 40, 50. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
So even 25 is a lot, but... Yeah. Just to think that wasn't as crazy as it's gotten, yeah, that I heard, yeah, from mentorships. But
it,
go ahead.
It gets bigger, but like I said, that was just my first taste of it, right? Like I told you guys, I didn't have, you know, $25,000 in my account, so I had to finance. I actually leveraged my credit, so I paid them $25,000. I think my payment was like $350 a month. So it put me in a predicament where I can get this information, understand it, execute it, and be in the green. You telling me you can't make more than $350 a month?
Yeah.
Off the information, the accountability?
Yeah.
So that's what I did. But going back to it, a lot of people live off of emotions. If they hate a job, oh, my boss don't like me, this and that, I'm finna quit. And then they just go back to square one.
Mm.
But I thought with strategy. I had to learn to control my emotions. As an entrepreneur, I learned that as well. Just because you feel like quitting today, that may not be the right time to quit. Let's do this smart. Let's do this with strategy. I spent another year and a half working my job as an engineer while building my business up. Mm-hmm. It got to a point where I was making triple what I was making in my company part-time than I was as an engineer, and I was still working there so that I could strategically leave and not have to get hit with the real world and start a business and try to live off the money that I'm making. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yo, hold on. Before we even get into the entrepreneurship stuff, one thing that stood out to me about your story, because this happened to me in college, but it was your coach. For me, it was my teacher. So your coach came to you like, yo, basically you got to make a decision. Like, you either going to do this engineering thing or you going to do football.
100%.
And I don't think people understand how, like, I don't want to say straightforward, but how harsh college in general can be, bro. Like, they tell you straight up, like, listen, you either going to do this or you're going to do this. And you decided to continue to do both.
Yeah.
Why? Like, what made you, because I stopped. I was a biology major when I came in. And I was going bad. Like you said, you started to flunk. Like, you had one point, like, my shit was bad. My teacher was like, listen, you playing football, you need to make a decision. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do sociology. Yeah, cool, because I want to play football.
Yeah.
But you was like, nah, man, I'm sticking with it. What made you stick with it?
Man, just that dog in me, bro.
Mm.
Just that dog in me, man. And one thing I learned, bro, is like, it's your life. It's your future. I'm not allowing nobody else to write my story. I'm going to write my story.
Mm.
So for another man to tell me, give me an ultimatum like it's going to be this or this, nah, it's going to be both, and I'm going to show you how it's going to be both.
Mm.
I'm not going to let you force my life, because at the end of the day, and I tell everybody this, whatever you do with your life, that's on you. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame you. They can't blame nobody else but themselves at the end of the day, because it's their decision.
Facts.
And that's one thing I wanted to do, man. It's just like I said, just show you that I can do both and conquer my goals. That was something on my list, to graduate with an engineering degree and play ball, and I was able to do both, man.
Yeah, no, that was dope. And the fact that you had the knowledge, though, I think that's what people overlook so much, bro, just having, and we was joking off camera about, like, just, I knew that people was like, yo, you got to go to Atlanta to really, like, get in the faces of these celebrities or whatever. So I'm like, shit, I'm going to go. But it's to somebody that wasn't exposed to that, it's like, man, well, I'm going to just do it where I'm at. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, well, I'm going to just, like, so that knowledge is super important, especially when it comes to, we talking about mentorship.
100%. Right?
Did you know that going into it, I'm assuming, or was this something that you, like, I'm going to just take a leap of faith?
I took a leap of faith, bro. I knew where I was at in my life, being an engineer. Like I said, it was cool. You know, everybody think you got it made, but I wasn't happy. Mm. I wasn't happy. One thing that people don't understand, a salary is just a payroll to forget your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It's a check to forget your dreams. It's saying, okay, I see you have skills. I want you to commit to my company and put everything else on the back burner. And I was feeling that as an engineer for a utility company, working overnight. If power go off in here, they calling Georgia Power, and then they calling me. Mm. I got to come out here. It don't matter if it's 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and that's not what I wanted for my life, man. So just being able to build on top of that and just get to where I am today, bro. But that hunger of wanting better for myself led me to figuring out business, finding a mentor. And I found somebody that I aligned with. I like how he dressed, how he carried himself, how he treated his family, what he was doing in business, how his team was. And I was like, man, I can see a lot of you and me. And he did the same with me as well. And I just took it from
Who was your mentor? Him 500?
So Him 500 was one of my initial mentors, but it was actually this guy named Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, my big brother Jesus.
Wow,
yeah.
Shout out to him, man. Yo, so you being a business owner now,
mm-hmm.
right? Because this is one thing I was thinking about. You have to pay people to essentially work in your company.
100%.
How do you still look at corporate the same way being a business owner?
I actually understand a lot of the things that they had us doing in corporate America, and it really helped me grow my business. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about off camera, like the structure.
Mm-hmm.
As an engineer, we always have weekly meetings, Zoom calls. We'll have like events where all the engineers have to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why we gotta do this shit? Like, bro, just let me do my job and go home. But now that I'm on the other side and I am the CEO, right, I understand how they can build a team, right? Keeping the goal top of mind for everybody, right? Understand what we're working towards, building that camaraderie, right? You know, when you build that camaraderie, even if somebody's off the clock, if they see they can help you do something, you know what, before I clock out, I'll go ahead and take care of this.
Mm.
All right, I'll take this last call. I'll do this last thing before I clock out. So all of that really structured me to how I implemented and built my company, right? Creating camaraderie, being able to have one goal in mind, understanding what we're trying to achieve, understanding why we're doing what we do to build what we build. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I was curious to know, so many people doing credit right now, so many people saying they can get people funding and things like that. What's one thing that you learned in your journey, your 3 years doing this, 4 years doing this, that you implement with your clients that you see most credit guys or funding guys overlook or don't do?
100%. This ain't even game. It's just real talk. Transparency.
Mm.
Just being real and setting a realistic expectation. If you know a person has a 650 with no revenue, you know they're probably not going to be fundable day one. Mm-hmm. Tell them the truth. Hey, look, you're getting this no right now is just temporary. This is a no for now, but a yes later if you do these next steps, building your credit out, lowering your utilization to be able to get the funding later on, right? A lot of people are not transparent in this industry. They're selling the dream, and that's what kind of messes up the industry and give it a bad name, right? Saying I can fix your credit in 30 days. That's not realistic. You're technically not even supposed to say that according to, you know, FTC and different things like that anyway. But just giving people that mindset of, oh, this can be done in 30 days, realistically, it probably takes 6 months to get it done.
Mm.
So transparency is the biggest thing that I pride myself on and my team on, because we set the expectation. And what that does as well is it creates a great client, you know, client experience, literally, because I'm telling you, hey, you're here. We want to get you here, and then we can get you to that goal, and now they understand they want to work with you. Versus you saying, yeah, I can get you funded in 3 days. 3 days pass by. They're like, bro, what's going on?
No, facts.
You know what I'm saying? So transparency is definitely the number one thing, man.
Now, this funding thing, man, I'm learning that it's more so of a commission thing for not the client, but for you,
mm-hmm.
the people that's getting the funding. Does it ever come to a point where, because in order to get the funding, they got to listen to your advice.
100%.
Does it ever get frustrating to the point where it's like, yo, they not listening and you wasting my time? And you got to turn the client away or something?
100%. 100%. So one thing that alleviates that is the education.
Mm.
A lot of people, they do a service and it's just quick turnaround.
Right.
And it's just like, here you go, get out my face, pay me, we done.
Right.
You have to educate your clients on what the process is, why this process is like that, and the consequences if they don't follow the process the way it is. when you let them know the consequences of, if I go do my own thing, you can, you know, take yourself from getting 100K in funding to 20K in funding, then they're like, oh shit, well, let me pay attention because I don't want that to happen to me. So I feel like educating your clients is the biggest thing what a lot of people are not doing. And that sets me apart too, bro.
Okay. What you think one of your biggest learning lessons while being in?
One of my biggest learning lessons, don't put your eggs all in one basket.
How do you do that?
When it comes to marketing. So entrepreneurs, especially online entrepreneurs, man, we think that we just have to post to get leads, right? Just keep posting on social media and leads will find you. But there's so many other avenues we have to attract clients. So about probably 2-3 weeks ago, my Instagram was disabled for 5 weeks.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Most people would have been out of business over there, right?
I'm messing the bag. Sheesh. Damn.
Right? Just off of funding itself, we were still able to secure, we had a $47,000 month off of that. Made $47,000 with no social media at all, right? It's because I had different avenues to market. It's so many different ways to market that we're going to get into as well. I'm going to give you guys some game that people are leaving on the table because they think I just got to post and my clients are coming to me. They're on the defense instead of being on the offense when reaching out to clients. So I feel like not putting your eggs all in one basket and having multiple ways to attract clients was one of the biggest things that I learned in this industry because we all are technically one or two bad mistakes from being broke.
Yeah. One or two bad moves from being broke and one or two good moves from being rich.
Exactly.
You feel me?
You know,
like,
what I'm saying?
Man, so let's get into the game. You said some other marketing tactics that you use. Like what?
Exactly. So we're going to get into it. So what I do is completely opposite of what you see online when it comes to funding, right? I'm going to break that down first, right? So mostly when you hear about funding, people tell you, hey, I can get you 100K or 0% interest funding. We do that. That is a very great product that we offer as well, right? 0% funding. But a lot of other funding companies, they stop there. If you don't have a 700 credit score, they can't help you. If you already went through Chase and all the big banks, they ain't got no answers for you. We're totally opposite. So we have that 0% interest startup, no documentation funding, but we also offer alternative lending. Alternative lending, you can secure funding, which is a 500 credit score.
Damn.
Yeah. A 500 credit score, and we base that lending off of your revenue. So it's more for businesses that have been in business for, let's say, 6 months or longer that have some type of cash flow. You can still secure $100,000, $300,000
but you gotta be profitable.
Based off of your revenue.
Your business gotta be profitable.
Not technically. Revenue means that what you're bringing in. So
not even what you're making.
Exactly.
Okay.
What you're bringing in. So to give you an example, we funded a restaurant about $300,000, right? They were bringing in, I would say, about $115,000 on their bank statements. Mm-hmm. And they probably were keeping at their ending balance about $15,000. Okay. We were still able to get them $300,000 based off their future account receivables, based on the estimate of what their income is and what our lenders use to basically lend to them to get them funded right away. And this client had a 550 credit score.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So we have answers for all of our clients, right? Not just if you got a 700 credit score, talk to me. We can help you with a 500 credit score. We have so many different options to serve people, right? But getting back to the game, one thing that people are not doing, which I'm just like shocked, is Google Ads. Most people posting on Facebook, posting on Meta, running Meta ads, Instagram ads, all that good stuff. But let me ask you this. When you're looking for food, when you're looking to solve a problem, what's
anything,
the first thing you do?
Google, anything. If I need to change my oil, I don't know, anything. I'm literally like...
You're going straight to Google, right?
Yeah, facts.
So if you a business owner and you understand that majority of people naturally go to Google to search for something to find a solution, why are you not marketing on Google?
Nah, facts.
Why are you not marketing on Google? So that's how we outbeat a lot of our competition, and we don't necessarily need Instagram to post and say, hey, we do funding, we do this. We use Google Ads. Mm. Google Ads, you pay for Google Ads, they put you at the top of the listing. Right now, we're seeing anywhere between a 6 to 15% return on our investment on ad spend.
Damn.
Because of that. Because when they type in business loans in Las Vegas, business loans near me, SBA near me, equipment financing near me, my company's coming up. They apply. We give them a call. Fund them right then and there.
So hold on. So aside from the funding and the credit, you just got into mentorship too, right? Like yeah. You're mentoring people too.
100%.
So you're teaching people how to
I do the same thing I did. But what I did differently than a lot of gurus out here is I actually built my business up. I just started coaching. And the reason I started coaching was because so many people like, bro, you're killing it in your business. You can be impacting so many other lives for people out here that want to do the exact same thing you're doing instead of gatekeeping and thinking, oh, I'm good. So nah, we giving the game out. We helping other people get the way they want to go to. You know what I'm saying?
How has that been for you?
Bro, it's been great. Like I said, I'm used to adversity. And just the athlete in me, I always want better. I always want to achieve the most, right? So me, like, mentoring people is like a personal challenge to me to say, okay, I know I can do it in myself. Can I replicate this? Mm. And we actually been replicating it. Just yesterday, man, I took two of my mentees out, flew out here to Atlanta, obviously do the podcast with you. But on one that had his first 10K month, we gave him an award. He's a full-time engineer. So imagine making 10K
on top of, yeah,
on top of being an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. And then one, he's a full-time barber, and he just had his first 30K month running his funding company. You know what I'm saying? And they just got awards and took them out to eat. So we're celebrating them as well. But that's the when people sign up with me to get coaching, I take it personal. I want to make sure not only are you making a return on your investment, but you're also successful in your funding company, right? You're doing the exact things that I'm doing. You're getting the information I'm having, right? So it's so many different things, bro, like I said, with coaching that I really love that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to really take this and do it. And I didn't want to get into it at first. You know, a lot of people was like, bro, the stuff you're doing, people need to know this. People need this because they're struggling. I was like, okay, let's do it.
Yo, tell people how important it is to pick a, because I remember I was talking to Darius and he was saying like, when it comes to funding and naming your business, it got to be a business that like is profitable and not something that they deem a risk, right?
100%.
Outside of getting funding, right? Uh-huh. Let's talk about just in real life, the importance of picking a business like a major, right? That's going to make you money. Picking a business that makes you money. You originally tried to get into trucking, right? And it was like, it was tough. But then you got into this. Even if you didn't like this, if you wasn't passionate with this, this was still a smart decision when it comes to changing your life as far as making money. How important is that?
Bro, it's the most important thing.
Because everybody want to do something they love. Like, I'm in love with it. Like, all right.
Yeah. And that's that. I'll say that's that little kid stuff compared to the real world stuff. You start to understand passion will make you money all the time, right? Facts. It's a lot of creators out here that's passionate about what they're doing.
Some passionate but
they,
broke
money. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They're living on the couch. So the crazy thing that I learned, I didn't know anything about credit. When you're good at something and you're making money and you're changing your life and you're changing the people's lives around you, you become passionate about that. You're gonna get passionate about
them. Look, it's going. Yeah, in fact.
You know what I'm saying? You become passionate about it. So a lot of people say that. And like I said, that goes back to, you know, just the generation before you telling you do something you love so you never feel like you'll work again. But shit. It feel like you working when you ain't making no money. I don't care if you love it or not.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? So
we is talking now.
Exactly, right? So when you find something, like I said, that you're good at and you can make money out of it, if you give your all to it, you're going to become passionate about it. Mm. I didn't know anything about credit, anything about business finance, anything about business funding, nothing about business. All I cared about was about football. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm head on passionate about this. Every time I wake up, I'm thinking about how can I get better? How can I get my students better? What lenders are doing this? What are the new banking rules? What are the exposure rates? I'm really out here doing this stuff. And I never would have thought in a million years that I would be in this industry.
Facts. You know what? One thing that stand out to me about like these entrepreneurs, bro, is y'all always get like, y'all just always do the most. Niggas want to, like, I feel like entrepreneurs want to be the new rappers. Like they get the jewelry, the motherfucking cars and shit. I'm like, yo. And then I just started to understand like, that's what kind of like attract more clients though. Cause that's what they want to see. I saw you had the i8, the McLaren.
Yeah.
Like, did you walk into it getting these cars because you wanted to attract more clients, or this was something that because you could afford it, you got it?
So
what was your thought process going
both,
into it?
Both. I explained the first one. When you come from not having shit, bro.
Facts. Yeah. You
and you grow up seeing all these nice things, bro. Mm-hmm. When you start having success, you naturally gonna get it, bro. Like I just got some KD4s. Mm. KD4s is back when I was in high school. I remember I couldn't even afford them. I just bought two pairs just because. You can say, yeah, you waste the money or whatever, but it's just something in you when you're young. You knew you couldn't obtain it. Now you're in a position to where you can, to where you're like, I got to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is all marketing, bro. Mm-hmm. It's all marketing, right? The McLaren I got zeroed down by leveraging credit, understanding comparables, different things like that, right? Same thing with the i8 and the Corvette that I have, right? All zeroed down, just understanding how to leverage credit. But what it does is it opens so many doors for me that otherwise I wouldn't have been able to get into. So with my McLaren, I break it down. I'm actually a part of a supercar group called Fastlane in Las Vegas, right? They got chapters all around the U.S. and in Monaco. That's the original chapter, right? Everybody in there is a millionaire. We have one billionaire in our car group.
Mm.
And he has three hypercars, million-dollar cars, right? I would never be in those environments if it wasn't for my car, because I'm the only person there that looks like me that's my age. Everybody there can old enough to be our father. You know what I'm saying? And it gets me in environments that, like I said, otherwise I wouldn't have been into, right? So that's the first thing. Second thing, if we both offer funding, we both in coaching, whatever the industry, right? If we at the gas station and I pull up in my McLaren and you pull up in a Toyota, who gonna talk to who?
I'm talking to the dude with the McLaren. Like, let me holler at you real quick.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a banner. It's a banner. Not only is it a status thing, but it's a banner showing that, okay, he's doing something right if he's able to afford that, which, like I said, brings you in more clients. I do want to speak responsible, though. This is not telling anybody out there to just go get a supercar or something you can't afford. When you start to really invest into the business and the business starts to make money, if it makes sense to get something that can attract more clientele, then do it. But don't spend your last trying to get a McLaren, because it doesn't work like that. These cars, you still have to be able to afford. They bring you money, but like I said, the quicker you get something, the quicker you can lose it if you're not being financially responsible. And nowadays, bro, on social media, people just want something to talk about. Not many people appraise you when you get a McLaren, but you'll be all over social media if you lose it.
You know what I'm saying? What are you talking now? Sheesh. And I look at it like, it don't even have to be a McLaren. That can be used as a metaphor, right? It could be something simple as, I don't know, start saving your money to go to the finest restaurant once a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Just something like that, where you put yourself in these environments. I mean, when we were just talking about it, I was living in Midtown, and people would be like, it's expensive, like I don't know if they never asked me, was it worth it? But I always say, you know what? Like, it was expensive, but I felt like it was worth it, because the people I met in there, the people I got interviews that was from people that lived in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, people that I wanted to interview, the networking that I did just in the elevator, in the dog park, and it was like, I never, moving in there, I just wanted to live in a high rise for my first time, but I never experienced that until I got them. Like, that was a good investment. So some of these things, it's not just getting it because it looked good, but some of it be investments.
Yeah, It's what people don't see initially. Most people want to spend money and see an instant return on their investment. And that's not how life works. That's not how business works all the time. And right? You know,
sometimes you want that, but the smart people know that most of the times I want that delayed gratification, because exactly, that's where the most money going to come from. Exactly. Like, yeah, we can do the quick flip, but the shit that's going to come in the long run, oh, that's what's going to set us up. That's the big play.
Exactly. And that's one thing my mentor taught me. He said, rookies make money on the front end, professionals make money on the back end. And like you said, another thing, paying to be in those rooms, you filter out the bullshitters. That's the number one thing with payment and investing that people don't understand. It makes you invest in yourself, so now you have all your attention zeroed in on what it is, and it filters out bullshitters. Because if everything was free, if people was giving away McLarens for free or whatever for free, everybody would have one. It wouldn't have no purpose.
Facts.
It wouldn't have, you know what I'm saying, the name or the brand that it is now. So paying just puts you in a room with other serious people that take whatever it is serious, and now you guys can work, right? And being in the entrepreneurship space, you gotta learn early on that you gotta pay to play. Ain't nothing wrong with investing in a relationship, something that's gonna make you more money. But a lot of people with limited beliefs think that, why would I pay you this when YouTube is free? If YouTube was free, why you ain't a millionaire yet?
Come on, dog. Yo, you spoke on something that I thought is super important, or not important, but we all as African Americans go through, like, and that's not coming from nothing. And when you get something, you want to experience everything that you didn't experience before. Somebody that's dealing with credit, how many times are you, I don't know how to ask this question. One, how many people are you facing that comes get their credit?
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Fixed and then fuck it up within the next year because they probably just was irresponsible. That's the first question. But two, do you try to do you try to deter them away from like being irresponsible, or do you understand that this might be what comes with it, because this is a this credit thing is going to unlock the whole new level of money that you never experienced?
100%. So to answer that, like I said, I started off in credit repair. I'm totally in funding now, so don't do too much of credit repair itself. But starting off
even with
that,
the funding, though.
Yeah, exactly. I'll speak on both, right? So with the credit, just in general, people do have that mindset of like, okay, I can go, you know, run off, get my credit fixed, run off, get my credit fixed, run off, get my credit fixed. And it kind of stems back from America, bro, just being honest with you, because here they don't teach about the financial education, the credit system. And nothing happens to you when you run off on a bank, technically. Mm. You know, you default on a credit card, they may sue you, they may not, but you don't go to jail. You can still live your everyday life. You just can't get a credit card again, right? Versus like in Dubai, if you owe a debt and you don't pay it, your ass getting locked up. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing. I feel like accountability is one. The next thing I would say, man, is just like educating. It all comes back to educating. Hey, this is why credit is powerful. This is why you need to be very, you know what I'm saying, strategic on how you use your credit. Because it's not going to take a month to fix your credit. It's going to take a whole year. You had to lay down for a whole year to fix your credit. Do you really want to go through that again?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? When it comes to funding, like I said, depending on what type of funding they're getting, it's all educating. I'm not funding people just because they want funding. They have to have a business plan. They have to have some type of game plan. They have to have some type of strategy of where they're going to invest this money so that it makes sense, right? Because I don't want to burn the relationships I have with my lenders, my connects. So it just all has to make sense. I'm not telling people, hey, if you got a business or not, you can get funding. Nah. If you're trying to start a business or you have an existing business, let's see where you're struggling at. Let's see where, you know, the holes that are in your business, and let's get you some funding to fill that hole. If you're having a hard time marketing the clients, let's get you some funding so you can throw that into marketing to attract your clients. Now you're getting more money. Now you're getting more clients. You're able to pay off the funding that you got and reuse it over and over and over again. So you teach people how to fish while helping them to fish, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. So you would never suggest to, like, I mean, all right, man, I know you ain't used to nothing. Go ahead, have fun and just come back.
Nah.
But are you surprised when that happens, though?
Depends on the person. Honestly, when you get into the credit, the funding space, you kind of become, it might sound crazy, but you kind of become heartless, bro. Mm. You become heartless because you have a bird's eye view. You're looking at somebody's credit profile. A credit profile tell you the whole story. If somebody went through hard times, if somebody just flat out irresponsible, if somebody is trying to rebuild their credit based on the accounts they have on their credit, right? So you can look at the decisions that somebody is making and say, what did you expect was going to happen?
Mm.
You got $100,000 in funding and you went and bought Gucci, Louis, Fendi. That don't make you no money. So what did you think was going to happen, right? So that's why I said educating is the big thing. But at the end of the day, like, you have to hold people responsible, and that's what I'm big on, right? I can only guide you. I can only lead you to the water, but it's up to you to drink. You know what I mean? So just being responsible and understanding how to leverage this money. But I don't tell anybody, just go have fun. Right. Nah, you got to pay this money back. We trying to make money off of credit. We ain't trying to live off of credit.
Facts. Random question, bro. Mm-hmm. It's kind of off topic, but it's not. I've heard people, when it comes to dating, they ask, they want to know somebody's credit score. Being somebody that deals with, like, credit and funding and things like that, and you says you could tell a lot by a person by their credit score, how far off or on point is that when you're wanting to get to know somebody?
Bro, I think it's 100% on.
For real?
Yeah. The reason why is because, like, let's say this, bro. Let's say you on a date with a chick. She look good. She talking good. She dressing nice. She speaking everything good to you that you looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to magically pop up her credit score while you on the date. You see 550. She done ran off on Sprint. She got this apartment she got to collect from. Collections from. She done ran off on Chase, this and that. In your head, is this somebody that you think you can build with? When you want to build a family, because everybody want a house at some point, you can't even use her credit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, credit is like a transcript, and it can tell you, like, what type of person somebody is. You can tell they're just irresponsible. And sometimes with dating, do you really want an irresponsible person? If you can't take care of your personal finances, are you going to be able to take us serious? Mm. If I say, hey, I need you to do this, are you going to be able to take care of that? When it comes to children, if you have kids with somebody, if they're not responsible in their financial life, are they going to take care of your children?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? All of that, bro, everything matters.
So how can you tell the difference of, like, somebody that's just irresponsible or somebody that just fell on hard times?
Excessive negative accounts. I would say, like, especially during COVID time, you can tell people went on hard times during COVID. A lot of them are in deferment when it comes to different things. On comments, people don't know, like on your credit report, there's actually comments that the lender, the creditor can leave saying COVID relief or whatever the case may be, right? Irresponsible is people that just have a track history of just negatives. If you ran off on Sprint, Verizon, you know what I'm saying, T-Mobile, and they all in your credit report, what that mean? That means you went from one phone line carrier, ran off on them, went to the other, ran off on them, went to the other, ran off on them. You irresponsible. You ain't going on hard times because how you not learn from your first lesson? How can you tell somebody's rebuilding, they're learning from the lessons? You'll see negatives, but then you'll also see credit building accounts like Kickoff, like Self, that they add to their credit, showing that, okay, I made a mistake in the past, but I understand how important credit, how important finances is, and now I'm building for the future. They'll have secured loans. They'll have starter credit cards, things like that, to show that they're in the rebuilding phase and they're learning from their mistakes, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right, so I like to do this thing where I'll have a statement, right? And you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay. You could break it down. It could be... from experience, it could be something you heard, whatever, right? Or it could just be something. So I'm going to say a word or a sentence, and I just want to see the first thing that comes to mind. All right. So when it comes to being a college athlete.
Dedication.
That's it. Dedication.
Yeah.
Okay. But why?
Let me explain why.
Expound.
Man, like, playing football ain't no joke, bro. Like, people don't understand that. Like I said, you love and you dedicate everything to a sport that don't always love you back, man. Like, just in college, 5 a.m. workouts. After waking up at 5 a.m., working out for an hour. Now you got to eat with the team. Like, as a freshman, and you know, getting, like, if you're a new transfer or as a freshman, they literally say, hey, after workouts, have your ass at the dining hall.
It's a mandatory.
You have to eat breakfast so we can check you off, right? Then you go into classes, and you better go to classes because they're going to have the strength and conditioning coach, assistant coaches checking in to make sure you in class, right? Then when you're done with classes, you'll grab a little lunch, probably take a little nap if you have time, depending on your schedule. Then you straight to the facility, and you're there for the rest of the day for the next 5 to 6 hours. We don't just go out and practice. It's film study. You start off with team meetings. At the team meetings, position meetings, or team, then section, offense, defense meeting. Then you go to position meetings, and then you get ready to practice. So it's so much that goes into it that people don't understand. Being a college athlete is hard, bro. But I thank God that I went through that because it makes this entrepreneur shit so easy, bro.
Yeah, facts.
People don't understand if you can really commit. If you can commit to anything, bro, you can commit to business. It's the same thing. It's just you change, reprogramming your mind. Instead of me being in the weight rooms, let me study. Let me see how I market. Let me see how I can create systems. Let me see how I can attract my ideal clients. Let me see how I can better my sales, my closing. It's the same thing. You're just restructuring your mind to be dedicated to that one thing. And that's why you see a lot of the former athletes that turn into the entrepreneurship space, they hitting hard because the shit easy. Darius, my guy, former athlete. He hitting on all circles. Why? Because he's already trained. We're already built for this. It's the dog in us to say, okay, we're not going to sit back. We're not going to blame life in whatever circumstance. We're going to take it to the next level, look everything in the eye, and hit it head on. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. Okay. Next one. I think I got like 8 of these. The next one is perseverance. First thing that come to mind.
Shit. It might sound cocky, but me, bro. Me, man, when I think of perseverance, that's something that I had like written on my wall all through college, all through my life, bro. That's one of my favorite words just because everything I've been through, bro. I didn't come from the best backgrounds. People told me, hey, don't go to Georgia Southern. Hey, don't do this. Even when I got to college, I wasn't starting. I wasn't playing right away. Having, like I said, just to go through all the struggles, having the ultimatum by my coach, then still being able to get back on the team, still being able to, you know, go play a little bit professional and going from there. So many different things, bro. And even just in entrepreneurship, bro. Entrepreneurship, it can be easy once you have the right guidance, but every day is a challenge. Every day is a new day that you can learn. You got to execute on some type of information, bro. So I just feel like throughout life, bro, I just been persevering.
I like that. Time management.
Time management. When I think of time management, bro, I say, shit, me again. only reason why, and it's not me being cocky, but this is like literally my life. The only reason I was able to transition from an entrepreneur to, I mean, transition from an engineer to a full-time entrepreneur is because I managed my time. The number one thing that business owners lack and why they're not where they want to be is focus. They don't have focus. One minute they doing this, next minute they doing this, next minute they doing this. They got to go pick up the kids. They got to do this, but they're never focusing on what they want to accomplish. Bro, when I was an engineer, I still to this day, I can show you on my phone. I got a calendar of every call, everything I had to do. When I was an engineer and I had that goal to leave my job, bro, I would literally fill up my calendar. I'm working from this time to this time. During this time, during lunch, I'm going to go network with realtors. I'm going to go network with tax professionals. I'm pulling up on them in the work truck, explaining who I am, what I do, saying, hey, look, I have a funding company. We help entrepreneurs get access to capital. I know you may come across a couple of business owners that may need this service. If you do connect us, here's an affiliate payout that you get as well. So really mapping out my day from wake up to going to sleep helped me to reach my goals faster. That's what helped me leave my job in a year and a half and have money in my account and not be stressed out and trying to figure out business, because I managed my time and I still do it today.
Mm. It's funny because like college helped understand how important that is, especially when you play football. It's like, man, we were so successful because we couldn't really have, we ain't really had time to do nothing else.
Exactly.
It was like, we had a structure, we had to stick to it. Okay, we talked on this a little bit, but when you hear the word discipline, first thing that comes to mind?
Discipline, man. First thing that comes to mind is just football, bro. Mm. Football and entrepreneurship, man. Like, you got to stay disciplined, bro. Like, no matter what you do, you got to stay disciplined. Health is another thing.
Mm.
Him 500 actually said it, man. Like, at his peak, or when he was getting up there, people were talking shit about him just because he was fat. They're like, how you expect me to trust you with finances if you don't even take care of your own body?
Mm.
You're not even disciplined enough to eat right, lift, and do what you need to do. How are you going to be disciplined enough to take care of my finances or tell me how I should be disciplined?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a big one, bro.
Okay. Making a little shift. First thing that comes to your mind when you think of corporate America?
This might go crazy. When I think of corporate America, bro, I think of how could I say this? When I think of corporate America, bro, I don't even want, let's not do that. When I think of corporate America, bro.
Nigga, do that.
I just think of like, depending on what you had in corporate America, bro, I just think of, just like corporate slavery, bro.
Mm.
Corporate slavery, bro. Why I say that is because in corporate America, they're paying you literally to forget your dreams. So if you wanted to go start that business, if you wanted to travel the world, you now had to put down the back burner to fuel somebody else's dream. Somebody said a long time ago, you either gonna make money, you either gonna chase your dreams, or end up working for the nigga that chase his.
Right, but you somebody that hire people now, like.
Exactly, but in corporate America, like I said, when you're in that bubble, that's all you do. It goes back to time management, it goes back to discipline. What do I mean? The natural person that works at a corporate America job, right? You go to work for 8 hours, you may work 4 hours of that. Most people not working the full 8 hours at a corporate America job, right? Those other hours, you messing around with employees, you're on your phone, doing all type of bullshit, eating all that stuff, right? But you're not maximizing your time and progressing yourself. You're just doing whatever the company needs to get to the next level, but you're not working on yourself. Once people get off work, especially in the city, it takes you an hour to get back home. You get back home, you're tired, or you may have kids, you play with the kids, you eat, you go back to sleep, you repeat the process.
Mm-hmm.
When are you getting better? When are you putting time to yourself? When are you focusing on yourself? You mm-hmm. don't. Then when it comes Friday, it's Friday, I got my paycheck, I want to get some drinks, I want to turn up. So Friday, you turn up, you know, you wake up Saturday, same thing, you turn up Saturday, Sunday, you're like, let me get right, let me eat something decent because I got to work Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you ever focus on yourself? When do you ever reach your goals? When do you ever say that business that you wanted to start, when do you ever get started on it?
Mm.
You don't, because you're in a bubble. You're literally focused on just whatever corporate America, whatever your boss telling you to do, that's what you do.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's hard to focus in that. And then, bro, it's you're not progressing. The average raise in corporate America is about 3%. Mm. The cost of living goes up, depending on where you at, 2 to 3% as well. Mm-hmm. So are you really progressing or are you just stable?
Mm, barely stable, shit. Okay, coming to an end. First thing that comes to your mind when you think of entrepreneurship?
Freedom.
Okay.
Freedom.
All right. You want to explain or you want to leave it there?
Nah, I'll explain it. If you build out your business the right way, you know, it's hard in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Just like everything else, anything worth having is going to take some type of struggle. But once you build it out, you replace yourself in the business, you now buy your time back. If you got kids and you want to go to your soccer game, you can literally X out your schedule to make that soccer game. If you want to travel the world, depending on what type of business you have, you can do that once you have the systems in place. Mm. Entrepreneurship is probably one of the best decisions I've made in my life because it was the first time I feel like that I was free, and it puts me in a predicament where I can win. When I was working in corporate America, it's very political. You know, you got to shake the right hands. You may have to kiss some ass, depending on where you work at, to get to the top, just being transparent. Same thing with football. It's very political. I had 3 coach changes, right? The best man doesn't always make it to the lead. It's a lot of people you probably know and I know that probably are better than some people in the lead, but they're not in there because of politics. Entrepreneurship is the only thing in my life, in my experience, that I feel like I was fully in control to be able to say, hey, I want my life to be like this, and knowing if I work hard in entrepreneurship, it can happen. Plus, I can get my time back.
Okay, I like that. Choosing the right business to do.
Mentorship. Mentorship. So having a mentor, having somebody guide you the right way, and investing in yourself to learn from their experiences is what can help get you to the top. If I tried trucking and I lost $700,000 in trucking, and you're thinking about trucking, and I tell you, yo, bro, trucking could be a good industry, but here's why I went wrong. You know what I'm saying? And here's what it takes, what I didn't know prior into getting into trucking. Now, when I give you that game, it's up to you to decide whether you still want to do it or not, right? So having the right mentorships and figuring out what exactly do you want to do that's going to make you money now. Not something that's going to make you money 10 years from now. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? But what can change your situation now? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Lack of support.
Lack of support. When I think of lack of support, that's a tough one, bro. When I think of lack of support, self-belief. Right? I say self-belief when you say lack of support. It's because if you believe in yourself, you ain't got to make nobody else ain't got to believe in you. Make them motherfuckers believers.
Yeah,
that's the best thing to do. When you start a business, I'm pretty sure when you started this podcast, everybody wasn't supporting you, saying, go check out my guy, Jay Hill. The same with me. You know what I'm saying? When I started my business, I was trying to be cool and letting people know. When I finally did, they still weren't showing love. But did I get mad and say, screw them? Nah, that's just how the game goes. People usually don't support you until you give them a reason to support. Oh, yeah, I know Jay Hill. That's my guy. We went to school together. We did this. Whole time, they probably said 2 words to you. You know what I'm saying? So to combat lack of support, self-belief, you can do it yourself. You don't need, you know, everybody to support you.
Last one is showing value.
Showing value?
Mm-hmm.
Showing value.
Not even just value, but showing. In showing whatever.
When it comes to showing value and whatever, I'll just say, for me, man, just my mentors, bro. Just my mentors when I say showing value. Crazy thing, bro, I didn't even talk about it with the McLaren situation. They put me in my first McLaren, and exactly a year later, I got my own McLaren. Literally, September, I traveled, went out to their compound, never seen so many exotics. Didn't even think this life was possible when it just comes to the lifestyle they had. It almost seemed like a movie. Literally gave me the keys to a McLaren at the airport. Here you go, bro. Didn't even show me how to drive. I even know how to drive this shit. I'm literally like, bro, how do you, you know what I'm saying? Finally got it going. It inspired me, man. 1 year later, got my own. So I'll say mentorship, man. It once you see something, you can't unsee it.
Facts.
Once you see that something is real, once you see people making 60, 70, 80K, 100K, a million in a year, whatever the case may be, you can't unsee it, especially if you can touch them. If you can touch them, if you can see that this shit is real and it's not something on TV and they're not selling the dream, it's like, what separates me from them at this point? Why can't I do it? What excuse do I have? You know what I'm saying? So that's all what right. I say.
So I got this question. I changed this. You're the first person I ever asked this question.
Okay.
All right. 1 second. All right. Here we go. So I usually ask people to rank these 3 things in a order of most important to least important. Respect, loyalty, love. But I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you to rate these 3 things and the importance of currency.
You know how most people say relationship is one of the most important currencies you can have, right? Mm-hmm. Even more important than money. So if you had to rate these three currencies, what would be first, second, and third? Relationships, experience, money. Money could be money or credit.
Mm.
What has to come first?
That's tough, bro.
Relationships, money / credit, or experience?
That's tough, bro. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, money's last. But experience and relationship is tough because in my head, I'm like, with experience, if you lose it all, you got the experience, you know you can do it all again. You know what I'm saying? But relationships, like, you can get down bad, but if you got a high network circle, they supporting each other, and that can plug you in spots you probably couldn't get in just yourself.
So we got to choose. What's one?
Yeah, it's tough,
bro. And then two,
bro.
And then three.
It's tough, bro. So I say experience, man. I'm a bet on me type of guy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So if you can do it once, you can do it again. If you got that experience and you touch that money, you touch that success, you see what it look like, you see what it feel like, you know what that grind is. It's like almost deja vu. When you get in that mode, you're like, I'm back in that mode, right? You know how it is to achieve those things. So experience is number one because you can always do it again. Number two is going to be relationships, right? Relationships is literally one of the main reasons why I am where I am, right? Obviously, it takes hard work, but hard work can only get you so far. Sometimes it takes relationships to plug you in. You know what I'm saying? So relationships definitely second, and then money third. Mm. Money is third. The reason why, if you have the experience, you're going to always make money. You can always get credit, right? That shit is ever. It's always here. And then, you know, with relationships, the right connections can get you back to touch money, whatever the case may be. So that's how I rank it, bro.
Okay. Thank you, man. That was dope. Bro, I want to know, we do this funny. We do this this funny thing full time. How can we, like, what's the easiest way for somebody to be able to get funding right now?
Got you. So the easiest way for somebody to get funding, I'm gonna give you two scenarios, right? If you're somebody, because every person's not in the same box. If you're somebody that has no revenue but pretty decent credit, the easiest way for you to get funding would be business credit cards or personal credit cards, depending on what you want, right? Most of these credit cards are stated income, meaning that they're not asking for documentation or anything to approve you when it comes to a credit card. So that's your quickest way to get a $20,000, $15,000, $10,000 credit card. If you don't have the credit, finding a credit partner, that's what we do in our business, right? If we find somebody that's unqualified, we ask them, hey, do you have a business partner? Do you have a credit partner? Somebody whose credit profile you can leverage to get the funding that you need. It's essentially almost like a co-signer. But with business credit, it doesn't show on your personal credit report unless you default, right? So what we do is we structure and leverage their credit partner to fund them, which directly, like I said, gets them access to capital.
But that's still a risk that their funding partner takes as well, though, right?
Yeah, that's by making them aware. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like co-signing, but the cosign doesn't show on your credit report unless it's defaulted on. That's something that they have to talk about. You know what I'm saying? To kind of figure that out. The second box is, let's say you down bad, you messed up your credit, you know, starting a business, but you started making money. Really, like I said, just alternative lending. You can get business lines of credit, business term loans, merchant cash advances, simply based off the revenue in your business. So if you have a 550 credit score, if you're making at minimum, let's say $5,000, $10,000 a month, you can get some type of funding to keep that business going. You know what I'm saying? So those would be the quickest ways. And those deals, you can get funding in like 24 to 48 hours.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So those are the plugs, like I said, when it comes to it.
You know, black people love finesses, right? What's some of the funding finesses that you can get into if you do it right?
What you mean by funding finesses?
I mean, like you said, some hacks, right? Like some, of course, you 550 credit score. But let's say, I don't know, like I'm just trying to... like they got credit hacks now, whereas though they submit a profile, they can get things knocked off in 24 hours, something like that. Like, what are some funding hacks?
So one hack that I would say, bro, on the funding side, bro, is leveraging pre-approvals, bro. So American Express, we'll talk about American Express, right? When you get into the American Express ecosystem, once you're in there, they don't actually add any more inquiries to your credit report. So you'll know right then and there if you're approved. But now what they just added is a pre-approval tool. So if you're worried about getting that hard inquiry affecting your credit, you can actually apply with American Express's pre-approval on the personal and business side and see if you're approved before actually even getting the hard inquiry. Mm. That's one thing we do, especially for our funding workshop, live funding. We show people a proof in concept like, hey, you can see what you're approved for before even accepting it, before even affecting your credit score. That way, you know, right away, if you get approved for 20 grand, you got 20, you got 20,000. You ain't got to waste an inquiry, removing an inquiry, all that different stuff like that. So that's a hack that I would say when it comes to funding that's really helping people. Another thing too, bro, is structuring your business the right way. I know a lot of people talk about it, and I'm going to kind of clear up the myths when it comes to that, right? You do want to have a business in a low-risk industry, but you also want to make sure that everything else is structured, right? Nowadays, underwriters are actually doing their research, so they do want to see a business website. Mm. Your business address, a lot of people say don't use a home address. Since COVID, lenders are now more acceptable to a home address. A lot of people talk against that, but honestly, since COVID, they're not open to that. We're getting people $75,000, $100,000 with a home address. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just being fully transparent. Sometimes when you use these high, these Opus, these Regis, that's actually flagging your account. I don't know if you ever heard of it, right? People tell you, oh, go to Regis, go to Opus, get a virtual address. Mm-hmm. A lot of these banks, PNC, Truist, Chase, they're now flagging those because they're seeing that those are virtual offices. That's not actually where your business is located. Now it puts you in a position to where you decrease the amount of funding you can get because you're high risk. Wow. They won't even let you like apply or open an account if you got one of those addresses. So that's one thing that people don't take into consideration, man. Banks are here to help us, and it's strategic how we do things. So what I tell my mentees when it comes to that is, if you're going to use a virtual address, don't go with Regis, don't go with Opus. Anything you see on social media, you want to go left when they go right. Mm. Find a local commercial office, something near you that's underground, and you're more likely to use that and fly through versus actually using, like I said, a main Regis, Opus, or something like that. Or use your home address. We still getting people funded with home addresses.
Free game. Yeah, you got something coming up you was telling about. What we got coming up?
100%. So I got a free funding workshop, you guys. Everybody is free. This is if you're interested in starting your own funding company or trying to secure funding for yourself. I'm breaking it down from A to Z, how I started my funding company, how you can do the same thing. Lenders, I'll be breaking down, you know, no doc funding with no financials. But also, if you're interested, because a lot of people don't know about this, you can get funding off just simply the revenue in your business. So we've been running it up. A lot of my mentees, like I said, been having success doing the same thing, man. So you guys definitely want to check it out. And you know I had to do it for my guy, man. Anybody that uses the domain, I'm going to make sure you get the link below. Fundtosuccess.com/Jay Hill. We'll give you a free ebook showing you the exact same credit unions that I use in my business to fund our clients, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40K. You never know. We give you the whole insider on where they pull from and everything. That's completely free just for watching my guy tuning in, man.
My guy, appreciate it, man. Let's get this money, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Stepman Waiters, this is fire, bro. I appreciate it. Hope you enjoy your time.
Hey, man, I'm glad for coming on, bro. I need to do another one, man.
Yeah, man. We got to lock in, dog. Yes, sir. Stepman Waiters, Mr. Jay Hill. Jay Hill Podcast is right. We out.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.